Mark Normand is one of the most popular stand-up comedians in the country right now, as evidenced by his very popular 2023 Netflix special, Soup to Nuts. He is currently touring in support of his latest hour. It's called You Don't Say. You can find out tour dates across the country at marknormandcomedy.com. You can also connect with him on social media through there. And you can check out his podcasts, Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List, as well as We Might Be Drunk, which he co-hosts with Sam Morril. And Mark was nice enough to join me for a few minutes prior to his stops in Austin on March 1st and 2nd. Mark, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am great. Welcome back to Austin, man. You and I spoke a couple of years ago, and it felt like at that time, just before Moon Tower Comedy Festival, that your career was about to explode. And sure enough, here we are 2 years later, and you've entered the stratosphere. How has the last 2 years been for you, man?
It's been a whirlwind. I mean, I'll OD eventually, but it's been wild. Just can't believe it. Dream come true. Theaters, Netflix, anal, you name it.
I would imagine that even with the anal, that the celebrity can be a little bit obnoxious at times. I don't know about you, but I can talk, and I do talk for a living, but I like that downtime, too. When people are constantly recognizing you out, that can get really freaking annoying.
Oh, yeah, it's bad, and I'm always hungover, so it's everybody wants to chit-chat and get you in a headlock and all that, and credit card swipe you, so that part's tough, and you want to be nice, and you appreciate it, but yeah, that I can't imagine being like a like a Tom Cruise or a Lisa Ann.
you've become very familiar with Austin over these last couple of years as well. I've seen you in town here performing stand-up. I'm going to be at the Paramount show tomorrow night. And you obviously come in
all right.
A few times a year for the Protect Our Parks recordings too. Is there something about Austin that you really find yourself loving, whether it's a place to eat or just something about this great city?
Well, just the crowds here are killer. There's a couple of towns in America that just really work for comedy. Austin, Denver, Phoenix, Philly, and Austin's one of them. So I just love it here. Then I got friends here. You got Joe here, and then you got Brian Simpson and Segura, and all the podcasts are here. So, and the mothership, of course, plus all the festivals. And it's just fun. It's something about this town. It's a big party.
Dude, I'm really excited for Brian. His Netflix, or not his Netflix, his special comes out in mid-March, and I'd seen him working on that for a couple of years. It is cherry on topped by that WAP joke. I can't wait for the rest of the world to find out about Brian Simpson. That is one of the underrated funny dudes around right now.
So funny, great comic. He's doing my podcast next week. I'm excited to see him. But yeah, he's a beast. It feels like some good comics are really popping. Soder just put out a special, Rory Scovel. So, yeah, it's a good time for the Yuck Yucks.
You going to swing over and maybe open for Soder at the Comedy Mothership once your Paramount shows are done tonight and tomorrow?
I think so. I did four sets there last night. You can just bop up and down those two rooms.
Yeah.
So I think either he might come to mine or I'll go to his.
Does the Comedy Mothership meet the hype? I've heard you guys talking about it. I mean, is it really as cool as advertised and just a comedian's comedy club, as many say?
It really is. It's one of these clubs. I walked by at like 6 p.m. last night in the rain on 6th Street, and there's a line around the block already. So it just fills up, and these people want to see comedy. They're not analyzing your act. Nothing's problematic. It's just fun. It's what comedy kind of felt like it used to be, so... It is a great, and it's a great room, great layout, great sound, good times.
What do you like performing more, the Mothership or the Comedy Cellar?
Ah, geez. Well, Comedy Cellar I love. You know, I'm a New York guy, so it's just a place in my butthole. But they're different. They're different. The Comedy Cellar is way more intimate. It's small. It's like a shoebox underground, and it just has a great sound. But the Mothership's a little more like a little theater.
All right, let me ask you this thing, because I know New York comedians aren't always treated kindly out in L.A. So what about Mothership or Comedy Store?
Ooh, well, Comedy Store is great, too. It's got a lot of history, but LA crowds are a little queefier than Austin, so I'll go Mothership.
Are LA crowds still as sensitive as they were a few years ago? I would have assumed folks had lightened up by now.
A little, and you know, you can still get your people out, the right people, but yeah, LA can be tough. People are up their own ass. They got their own world going on. They're an influencer. They're covered in Botox. You know, they're trying to plow an athlete. So I think it's just a different world over there, whereas Austin's like real people live here.
You know, considering the world with which you reside, you're, I don't know if I call you friends with Seinfeld, you're acquaintances with Seinfeld, you've opened for Seinfeld before. Have you ever spent any time around Larry David out of curiosity? Because LD is one of my big influences.
He's my hero. I met him once at a wedding, believe it or not, and I didn't want to bother him. Of course, I wanted to go down on him, but I didn't want to bother him, so I just met him, and I just kind of observed him from afar. And I watched him get mad at one of the staff members of the wedding place. And I was like, it was like a Curb episode. It was incredible.
Yeah, I've got a buddy who used to live in New York City, and he had testicular cancer when he was in high school. And Seinfeld is something that helped him get through the craziness of that. But he lived on McDougal a decade plus ago. And at one point, he actually saw Larry looking around confusedly on McDougal Street right next to the cellar. And so he goes up to him. He's like, "Hey, Larry, sorry to do this. I just need to let you know how important you are for me in my life and the testicular cancer thing." And he's like, "Oh, thanks. You're okay now." He like was a little bit freaked out by it. And he's like, no, I'm fine now. I'm in remission. Everything's great. I can't help but to notice, though, that you look a little bit confused. Is there something I can help you with? I live in the neighborhood just a couple doors down." And Larry's like, "Yeah, I need to find a pharmacy or a bodega. I need tampons and I need Tylenol," which is a very Larry David request, of course. And so he actually takes him there, helps him get the tampons and the Tylenol. People start recognizing Larry in the store, and he's like, no, this is just my Uncle Phil. He gets recognized by everybody, and even though he's not Larry David. Well, they end up going back to the restaurant after that where Larry and his family were, and my buddy gets to take a picture with him. He buys a disposable camera, and Larry's holding up the bag in this picture. You can see the tampons through the plastic bag of this bodega, and it's truly a life highlight, not just from my buddy, but also for me getting to retell that story secondhand.
Wow, that's insane. That's incredible. I love that he bought the disposable, and I love that he helped him, and I love that Larry was trying to buy tampons. I mean, that's a hell of a story.
That's just that dude's life, man. Like, I talked to Jeff Schaefer, who's his... he's basically the Larry David to Curb that Larry was to Seinfeld. He's his writing partner. He directs a bunch of stuff. Like, he has these conversations with him all the time. Apparently, Larry... I don't know how big of a football you fan, but Larry wants to remove all kicking from football. So no more field goals, no more extra points. And Jeff told me that not only does he argue with them about this every year, but Larry got it in his mind to actually call the Rock up to try and propose this idea for the spring football league that's coming up next month. So if we see no goalposts in the UFL or whatever the hell it's called now, that will be the Larry David effect on football.
See, I love that he's got these weird quirks. He's so passionate about this such stupid stuff. I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. So you did mention the podcast a little bit earlier. We Might Be Drunk. You and Sam, you crush it every week, man. It's mostly comedians. Occasionally you'll have somebody else on. Richard Jefferson was on a few weeks ago. Did he really drink you guys under the table that day?
Well, I had a bunch of shows that night. He brought a bottle of Lagavulin, and he killed probably 90% of it. I had about two or three cocktails, and it's like noon. It's like 12:30. So I had like four spots that night. I had another podcast to do, so I was trying to somewhat take it easy, but that guy, he can really put it back. I was impressed.
Does it make you a bigger basketball fan, even though he's obviously not playing anymore, speaking with somebody like that and hearing how cool somebody like that is who is now covering the sport as a broadcaster?
100%. I mean, I like basketball, but I get worried about having athletes on because they're not exactly the most funny, talkative, or interesting, you know, unless you're Michael Vick. But I want to be funny and joke and stuff. And a lot of athletes aren't really capable of that. But this guy was a pro and he could talk and he was cool and he had stories and he drank. So he was dream guest.
I love how you don't compromise your willingness to say the most offensive thing humanly possible, regardless of the audience on that podcast. It's hilarious that Sam is having to play the straight guy on that show, in a sense. But thank you for keeping it real in those situations on We Might Be Drunk.
Hey, no problem. You know, it's a pod. Let's get crazy. You know, we're not on the Tonight Show, and let's enjoy that. Let's get nutty.
Exactly. Real talk. So you and Sam, you also have a whiskey, Bodega Cat Whiskey, which I believe you can order through the mail right now. But I've heard you guys talk about there's a problem finding distribution. I figured it would be a no-brainer with you guys offering an alcohol like that. What's the holdup here? Why can't we get this at liquor stores in Austin just yet?
It's a whole thing, a lot of red tape. I mean, everybody and their grandma is putting out a liquor right now, and I think that's part of it. Everybody wants that coveted spot on the bar shelf. So it's a lot of legal, it's a lot of lawyers and all that. So we're getting there. We're actually really close. So it's going to happen, gosh darn it. But it has been, and you got to think, we're two joke clown idiots. We don't know anything about business or city finances and legal mumbo jumbo. So we are way behind the eight ball. So we're trying to figure it out slow.
So are you basically just having to hire more people who know those things better than you guys do? You're not able to accomplish it yourselves?
That's exactly right. We had to hire a guy to help us, and he's holding our hand, and we're, you know, special needs kids.
That's right. Speaking of, I don't know if this is the Shane Gillis effect or the cumulative effect of stand-up comedy, but there are two words who have returned to the common vernacular, not just with adults, but also kids in 2024, Mark, after these words would get you canceled a couple of years ago. The word gay, like saying something is gay, yeah, or calling somebody gay. And then also the R word, saying retard or retarded. And I only know that not just because of my own personal experience, but also because I've got a 9 and 7 year old at home, and I asked them what those words mean. And one of the definitions for each was the way that it was used back in the 1990s and 2000s. So I guess kudos to you and Gillis and everybody else who has not backed down in that regard. I actually think you had the best stance on the word retarded in your most recent special. So thank you for putting it in plain English while obviously making people laugh about it as well.
Oh, I almost said it on here just now, but I held back because I didn't know you guys' rules and regulations. But yeah, it's a funny word, and it does feel like it's coming back. I mean, the guy said it on the SNL monologue on NBC, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, my chin was on the floor for that. Curious, because you're friends with Shane. You obviously have known him for a ton of years. I'm only familiar with him as his comedy. As much as I wanted to see that, and the monologue was funny, and there were a few decent moments, that was a sad display of just how bad SNL has gotten. Because even Shane Gillis on that show, there were minimal laughs, and him taking more chances like that, too, even.
That show has gotten so creepy and weird, and like, I don't know if you saw, Dave Chappelle did it once.
Yeah.
And he said a joke, and the crowd kind of gasped and recoiled. And he goes, oh, sorry, Lauren, I thought this was a comedy show. And you're like, yes, this show used to be Farley and Chris Rock and David Spade and all this stuff. And now it's really just kind of a Gen Z jerk fest. I don't know. It's just like, hey, we got to stay on the narrative, stay toe the line. And you're like, well, comedy's supposed to kind of go against the grain. And this is like, hey, you better behave, young man. This feels so appropriate.
Yeah, it does feel like it's maybe starting to run its course. I see that with The Onion also. The Onion used to be great just for the headlines, if nothing else. There wasn't a ton to the stories necessarily, but you read those Onion headlines and it makes you chuckle. The Onion's not even trying to be funny anymore. It's just basically attacking one side now. It's like, oh, you've lost the satirical ability, which means that you're completely worthless to us.
Right. Well, yeah, it's activism has really ruined a lot of comedy. You know, it should just be joking, but now it's like, hey, we can't joke about that because this will piss off this group. And you're like, wait, what? Once you start doing that censoring shit, it's all over.
Yeah. Is there something, because obviously comedians evolve and there's things they're just not interested in talking about anymore. Is there something that's taboo that you talked about in the past and you're like, I just don't care enough at this point to poke holes or to mock this thing?
No, not really. I think if it's funny, just show instead of driving by with a lawnmower. I think if it's funny, you can do it. So I got school shooting jokes and abortion and AIDS and all that. And I'm not one of these guys who's like, I want to come out here and shock the crowd and make everybody walk out and puke and shit blood. But I think if you can make a dark thing funny, I think that's almost cooler. It's like, hey, we made light of this 9/11.
It's a big part of what it's all about. And if it's a polarizing issue, having fun with both sides, mocking both sides in the process.
Yes, exactly. We're all going to die one day, folks. Why are we taking this a big blue marble spinning through space, jerking off? Why are we taking this shit so seriously?
Yeah, exactly. Considering that you are spending time here now, I'm assuming you're not grabbing from the grocery store every time you're having a meal. Is there a place that you really love food-wise in this town that you like grabbing a meal, either before a show? Or
I'm walking around looking for a spot right now. I'm downtown on Congress. If you got any ideas, please, I need a taco or something.
Okay, where on Congress?
Right now I'm on Congress and 6th.
Congress and 6th Street. All right, go towards 2nd Street. It's going to be a little bit more of a walk, but you live in New York City. You're used to walking. Go towards 2nd Street.
I'm good.
2nd Street.
Okay.
So you're going to be going towards the river. Take a right on 2nd Street and go down. You'll pass over Colorado. You'll pass over Lavaca. You'll pass Guadalupe. And when you get to San Antonio Street, there will be a sandwich place on the corner there called Local Foods. They've got really good sandwiches. They've got bowls and salads and whatnot. And I hate to put the hype on it, but I'm not kidding you, a fucking delicious chocolate chip cookie. So go there, get a sandwich. They've got good homemade chips too, and get that that extra chocolatey chocolate chip cookie.
Hell yeah. All right. I'm going there right now, baby.
All right, and if there's a few of you can actually snag the scattered tickets that remain at the Paramount Theater tonight or tomorrow night, should make the effort to go see Mark Norman. He is one of the funniest in the business. Look, I don't care if you watched the Netflix special from last year. It's all new material now. By the way, you feeling good about the hour at this point, or are you still working some things out?
I think it's pretty solid. I got like a killer 45 and then I fuck around for 15 minutes at the end, but it's cooking, baby. So come on by. It's all brand new.
By fucking around, you mean, asking people for, to yell things out, and then you do your classic bit with that in return?
Exactly.
Oh, love that. Can't wait to see it. So yeah, check it out. AustinTheater.org for tickets. MarkNormanComedy.com to check out all the tour dates and watch old specials there. I don't know if there's a link to Bodega to Cat Whiskey, but you can also get to the podcast from there too. Mark, thank you so much for the time today, man. Really enjoyed it. And you enjoy local foods here in a few minutes.
Hell yeah. Thanks for the tip. And I love this town. And thanks for having me. Praise Allah.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. Thanks to you for hanging out. More of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. Talk to you next time on Books on Pod.